Roughly or two, or a dozen if you liked. There was never a shortage. They were cheerful, honest, hardworking, and reliable, as long as you didn't need anything done during hunting season. Everyone in Carfilly also knew that when you had Shifleys on the job, you needed someone else in charge. Not that they were stupid, some were and some weren't, same as any other family, but they were stubborn and opinionated, every one of them. And you needed someone equally stubborn and opinionated telling them what to do. Me, for instance. Not only was I stubborn enough, but thanks to my work as a blacksmith, they halfway respected my opinions about related crafts like carpentry and plumbing. Michael, my fiancé, would do in a pinch, as long as he remembered to suppress his innate niceness. Unfortunately, Michael was in town attending the dreaded all-day Carfilly College faculty meeting. We had Dad in charge. I was worried. "Come on, Dad, pick up," I muttered as his phone rang on unanswered. I heard rustling in the shrubbery, either another competitor approaching or Rob arriving for cow removal. Either would cut short my time for talking.
"Meg," Dad exclaimed when he finally answered, "how's the game?"
"I'm stuck in a bog with a cow sitting on my wicket," I said. "How's the demolition going?"
"Fine, the last time I looked."
"The last time you... Dad, aren't you at the house?"
"I'm up at the duck pond."
I closed my eyes and sighed. 2 weeks ago, when I'd left Dad in charge of another crew of Shifleys to install the new septic field, he'd talked them into excavating a duck pond. Apparently Duck, my nephew's pet duck, needed a place to paddle while visiting us. Or perhaps Dad thought Michael and I would soon acquire ducks of our own. Anyway, he'd sighted the pond uphill from the septic field, but in a spot with exceptionally good drainage. So good that the pond didn't hold water, which hadn't stopped Dad from trying to keep it full. "Let's talk about the pond later," I said. "I need you to keep an eye on the demolition crew. See that they don't get carried away with the sledgehammers."
"Roger," he said. "I'll run right down. Oh, about those boxes in the front hall. The Shifleys can work around them today, but next week..."
"The boxes will be long gone by next week," I said. "The professor from UVA should come by before 5 to haul them off. Keep an eye out for her, will you?"
"Roger. By the way, speaking of the duck pond..."
"Gotta go," I said. "Rob's here for the cow."
I had spotted Rob peering through some shrubbery.
"Man, I thought last month's course was tough," Rob said. "Who set this one up?"
"Mrs. Fenneman," I said, "possibly with diabolical assistance. Did you bring Spike?"
"Right here," Rob said.
He pushed through the thicket and set down a plastic dog carrier. He'd gouged a small notch in its door opening so he could put Spike inside without detaching the leash. Smart. I peered in through the mesh. "Cow, Spike," I said. He growled in anticipation. I could see he'd already done cow duty elsewhere. His fluffy white coat had disappeared under a thick layer of mud.
"Here we go," Rob said, grabbing the leash. "Go get her, Spike."
A small brown blur shot toward the cow, barking and snarling. The cow must have met Spike before. She lurched to her feet with surprising agility and trotted off. Annoying that an 8.5-pound furball could strike fear in the heart of a cow when I couldn't even keep her awake.
"I'll just move her a little farther while we're at it," Rob said.
He grabbed the dog carrier and ambled off.
"Not too far," I said. "And remember, you're supposed to get the milk out of the cow before churning it."
"Don't worry," Rob called over his shoulder.
I hadn't been worrying, only hoping Spike wouldn't chase the cow quite so far off. Cows were welcome as long as they refrained from lying on the stakes and wickets. The rules of extreme croquet defined any livestock on the course as walking wickets. Hitting the ball between the legs of a standing cow would give me a much-needed extra shot. I didn't want Spike chasing her toward a rival player. Yes, the cow had been lying on the wicket. I bent the battered wire into an approximation of its original shape, pounded it into the ground, and leaned against a tree to wait my turn. But before it came, another player arrived, Henrietta Pruitt. I smiled and hoped it looked sincere. Mrs. Pruitt was captain of the Dames of Carfilly, a team whose member